Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So, on your mind, taxes? Well, it's not just one time a year. Sometimes for some folks, it lingers on and on and on. And that's when you owe back taxes and it just doesn't go away. So, a gentleman that will not go away for us, which we are glad for, is Marty Davidoff. He is a CPA and an attorney. He's been a guest on my program before. We're having him back. We got a lot of good feedback on his show when he was on the program before. So, welcome back, Marty.
Great to be here, David.
It's good to have you. The website today, ladies and gentlemen, for our program is taxattorneycpa.com. And tell me again where you are, Marty.
I'm in Dayton, New Jersey.
But you can help them wherever they are.
Wherever they are.
That's good, because wherever the IRS can find you, Marty can help.
You got it.
How's that? Okay. So I invited Marty to come back on. We covered a lot the last time he was on, and if you didn't catch the show, go into the archive on the davidholland.com website, and you can go on our radio section and go find the previous interview. But what we're going to do today with Marty, because of his expertise as both a CPA and an attorney, he has spent many years navigating the maze called the IRS, and especially as it relates to when they want money that you owe them, that we've had Marty come back on the show. One of the things we want to get into in a little bit more detail with Marty today is the rules of engagement, the five rules of engagement in dealing with the IRS when it comes to their collection. And I want Marty to share with us, there's five key things to keep in mind, and then we can talk about some of the other options or ways of resolving a tax liability to where it's manageable. So why don't we start there, Marty? Let's talk about the rules of engagement, because I think for a lot of people, the IRS is a very, very intimidating thing.
It certainly is, and one of those rules is don't be so intimidated that you're not going to open the mail. You have to reopen the mail, and I can't tell you how many times I've had people come in with piles of mail unopened from the IRS, often certified mail. So not only open the mail, but carefully read and understand all IRS communication. You got to do that.
I think it just scares people, and I suspect part of the reason why people come in, and you know, you're a professional letter opener, because they need a buffer. So if somebody needs a buffer and they're listening to the program, taxattorneycpa.com, that's something that Marty can definitely help you with. So the first thing to know is that, you know, you've got to come to grips with opening your mail and reading all the communication very carefully. And then the other thing that I thought was interesting that I think a lot of people would also overlook is feeling like they've got to pay the old taxes first and the new taxes just seem to be piling up. But that's just the opposite, right?
Absolutely. The second rule of the rules of engagement, or in my opinion, actually the top rule, is pay current taxes first. Because if you pay the current taxes, there's no pyramid. They're saying, I have now set a new course, I'm going to, within my current budget, pay the current taxes. And that's a big deal. Because once I do that, as far as the past taxes, I can resolve that problem equitably between the IRS and the taxpayer and come to something that makes sense for both of them, even if it's currently not collectible. But if I'm not paying the current taxes, I can't do anything about the past because the IRS just won't listen.
I got you. So you got to get right, and you got to get yourself kind of straight and get paying and showing them that you do recognize them as a taxing authority and somebody that you owe money to. And after that, then you can work through the older stuff.
That's correct. And there's another more sophisticated side of that. If you can't pay your current taxes as you go along, then there's something wrong with your lifestyle and your budgeting. You just can't make ends meet. If you're in a situation, even if you're $100 short a month and paying your taxes, you might as well be $1,000 or $1,000,000 because you're short and you're not going to have you're going to have something that just doesn't work for your family. And as you teach on this show, people need to treat their finances responsibly. And here you just have to be in a position. If you can, you're going to have to adjust your lifestyle so that you can.
Something's got to give, it, as they say, right?
Absolutely.
All right, and then there's this thing called the appeal deadline. Let's talk about that, because that's another one of your rules of engagement, is don't let that deadline pass. What are you talking about there?
Well, there are lots of deadlines with the IRS. Some of them are hard and fast deadlines. Some
aren't they all yesterday?
Usually what happens is I have a client comes in. This is not in the collection area, but in audits. They'll come in after an audit, and they get something called a notice of determination, which gives them a right to go to tax court.
Right.
And they got it 90 days before the tax court deadline for filing for tax court. And they come in to me on the 87th or the 88th
nice.
Day and say, can you help? And we can. But it'd be nice if they came in on the 75th day and not wait till the 89th day. So there are some deadlines like that in the audit area are very firm, and if you miss them, you're really out of luck and you complicate your situation. But there are a lot of appeals deadlines that come up from, first of all, when the IRS says no to your request for an installment agreement, let's say you say, I can pay $300 a month, and they say, no, you can pay $1,000 a month, you need to specifically say, I appeal your decision. It's wrong. And once you appeal, they have to stop collections until they take a look at that appeal.
I got you. So that buys the time to really figure this thing out.
That it buys a little time to figure that out. Now, this is only going to work if you've already given them financial disclosures.
I got
you. They won't allow you to appeal it. But, and here's what happens. Sometimes people think they've appealed, but they haven't. They'll be on the phone with the IRS, and they'll say, I can pay $200. The person on the other side, no, our calculator says $1,000. And then they hang up. Well, the person says, well, I told him I can only pay $200, and the IRS says, I told him he can pay $1,000, and he decided not to do that. I'm going to go garnish his wages. See, what you need to do is on the phone say, listen, I need to know my procedure for appealing. I'd like to appeal your decision that it's $1,000. I say it's $200. Where do I write my appeal? Generally, though, what happens is that person on the phone will not even treat your request as a request that's appealable. The person on the phone will just, you know, hang up saying, well, he said $200, I said $1,000, but that was not a formal request. So you have to make sure you say, listen, I want to make my $200 a formal request. At that point, he or she must give you your appeal rights.
There you go.
And then you have 30 days from them saying, okay, you've got appeal rights. And if you miss that deadline for filing the appeal, then they can go garnish and go willy-nilly on you. So you have to make sure that you're reading these things. But sometimes they don't even know that you have an appeal right because you haven't made it clear enough that I'm requesting this be an installment agreement, and then say, what are my appeal rights? And they'll say sometimes, well, you don't have appeal rights, but then you say, you know, and that's one of my other rules,
mm-hmm.
is keep in mind that every IRS employee has a manager, and don't be shy to asking to speak to him or her, and don't be afraid to say, you know, please give me the name and phone number of your manager. And sometimes,
well, and while you're doing that, you should probably ask the IRS representative their name, and don't they have like an ID number or something?
Absolutely, and then the first thing when they get on the phone, they'll say, my name is Jenny Jones, my ID number is 12345678, and they'll say it so fast, you say, Jenny, great to meet you. Before you get any conflict in conversation, would you please repeat your ID number so I have it for my file?
That's very good. Yeah, you don't want to wait till you're kind of having a heated discussion to say, by the way, give me your ID number. Because it's not the time to ask, but it also could be not necessarily the best time to do it for potential risk of it seeming like you're ratcheting up the conversation.
That's correct.
That's good. So these are the five rules of engagement in dealing with the IRS. Let me just do a quick summary, Marty, because I think these are really important. Get your current taxes paid first. Read everything that you get. Open your mail. Don't let any of these appeal deadlines go by without looking at what you can do. Always get the name and ID number of the IRS representative helping you, and then keep in mind that every one of them has a manager. If you have to go up the food chain, you can.
That's it. You got it.
Excellent. Well, that's perfect. We're going to take a quick break. Marty Davidoff is our guest. He's a CPA and an attorney. The website is taxattorneycpa.com, and we're going to take this short break, and we'll be right back.
If you had a serious health issue, wouldn't you want a second opinion? Is your financial well-being any different? Make sure your retirement plan is the best it can be for your situation. An independent financial advisor can review key elements like stock market exposure, diversification, and fees. Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
And we're back. Marty Davidoff has joined us again for another good interview. TaxAttorneyCPA.com. A lot of work with the IRS over the years and helping a lot of small business owners and individuals sort this stuff out. So, Marty, if somebody is in the situation where they owe the money and they're trying to figure out what to do, let's walk through, because I think this is something that would be very helpful for our listeners. Let's walk through the alternatives that people have in a collection. You know, I mean, some of it's kind of basic, like, hey, pay all that's due, and then you've got other options. So let's walk through them. The first one I understand from you is that you can pay everything. Just pay what's owed, not just talking about the current, but the prior tax.
That's correct. Sometimes I get people come in, and they want to work out an installment agreement with the IRS. They may owe $20,000 or $25,000, and they're trying to, you know, save $200 in penalties, and they want to do all of this. And I say, wait a second, but you've got a lot of equity in your house, or you have, you know, mom or dad who are willing to lend the money. Why don't we just do that? They're going to be an easier creditor than dealing with the IRS.
There you go.
Now, that's changed a little bit recently with the IRS coming up with these streamlined agreements where they won't put a lien on.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly, if you owe more than $50,000, it's one kind of conversation. When you're under 50, it's a whole other kind of conversation.
So if they're under 50, it may just be easier and simpler to just look at, as you said, refinancing their home, maybe loans from family, or liquidate some assets. I had this recently with a couple that came in to see me, and we're going to be getting back together. So this is very current, Marty. And they did some things that just, you know, weren't the most tax efficient decisions with pulling money out of IRA and 401ks and things like that. And they owe, I think it's about $10,000, $15,000. Well, for them, they have assets they need to, and they've also got a potential to refinance their home. Well, that may be the easiest thing to do.
Right, and that may be easy. But the other thing is, because of the new IRS streamlined agreements under $50,000, you can go to the IRS. Generally, right now, they say you can even do it online. I haven't done it yet. But under $50,000 assessed, you go and get into a 72-month installment agreement. They say they will not put a lien on you. And for under $25,000, they definitely won't. $25,000 to $50,000, if there's a lien on you already, you can get it off over time. But if they haven't placed a lien, they're also saying they won't add one if you get into a streamlined installment agreement and get a direct debit to your bank account. That means they're taking it out of their bank account. Their statistics have shown that they do much better if it's a direct debit rather than waiting for to send in the check.
I like that. Do you know, you probably do, but or if you don't know the exact number, you can give me a ballpark. What would be if it was, say, the $50,000? Say it's right at the threshold for that maximum streamlined installment agreement for 72 months. What's the interest rate?
Well, the interest rate is 3 or 4% depending upon, you know, if they, I think the last interest rate is 3%. There's also a 0.25% per month penalty, which is equal to another 3%. So all in, it's about 6% non-deductible.
Okay.
Is what you're going to be in. And if you basically take what you owe divided by 66, that's usually going to be what they're going to allow you. So for $50,000, it would be about $750 a month. That's what they're going to allow you to do. Sometimes you can ask less and they'll do it. But there's an interesting thing about this $50,000 cap. It's not really $50,000 that's due. It's $50,000 that the IRS has assessed. I had a client the other day who owed $70,000, but only $52,000 was assessed. So we said, listen, why don't you pay down the $2,000, get it under $50,000 or at $50,000, and then get into the streamlined installment agreement now for $69,000. But being that it was under $50,000 assessed, the IRS would do that.
Hmm.
The problem comes in is if you owe less than $50,000 and you can't even pay the $750 a month, or if it's $30,000, it might be $550 a month, that you can't even pay that, then you have to go through a whole different scenario of, all right, let's give the IRS my financial statements, and then I'm either going to do a partial pay installment agreement, maybe a staggered payment, start out low, get higher, maybe pay over a longer period of time, maybe get into what they call is currently not collectible. Like right now, they can't collect it, but they may come back to you later. And the ultimate write-off, which is give me a full fresh start and give me an offer and compromise, which means they will write off the tax and take a lump sum of a much smaller amount right up front, depending upon your financial.
Is this on offer and compromise? Is that what the folks out listening to our program today, Marty, is this what they hear on TV or on the radio, you know, pay pennies on the dollar, that kind of thing? Is that the offer and compromise?
That is the offer and compromise. And in fact, for the right people, it works, which is a relatively small portion of the population. But if you have a consistent low income, you're just making sure things get by, and you have no assets, you should be able to be in a position to do an offer and compromise. And they've actually made the offers and compromise easier to get since May of 2012.
Well, the problem, Marty, as you well know, the people that respond to that advertising thinking, well, heck, I'll just do pennies on the dollar. And they might be sitting there with a several hundred thousand dollar IRA account or something.
Absolutely. And it certainly won't work for them.
No. It will not. And of course, that's the problem with advertising. If you're just joining us, ladies and gentlemen, Marty Davidoff is my guest, CPA and attorney, backed by popular demand, taxattorneycpa.com. Take a quick break. We'll be right back.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
And we're back with Marty Davidoff. He's a CPA and attorney. He's helping us sort out this IRS stuff. Okay, Marty, so let's say that, you know, somebody's talking to the IRS and basically you reach an impasse where they say you can pay a certain amount and you say you can't, or whether or not, you know, you can go into this uncollectible status. You've got a right to repeal that, but, you know, you've got to follow some pretty specific rules, right? I mean, to really make it clear that you want to appeal that?
Yes and no. But before I do that, let me just summarize what we were just talking about before.
Sure,
if you
sure.
want to get into one of these streamline agreements, here are the rules. $50,000 or less assessed. You have to full pay in 72 months. You must pay in equal monthly installments. It must be a direct debit. You must be otherwise compliant. That means you have to have all your returns filed.
Cool.
So if you have that, and the IRS claims you can do that online. Now, moving over to your appeals question, basically, if the IRS says, you know, you come to an impasse with the IRS, there are two times you're going to be able to appeal. One is you can appeal the installment agreement itself, or the denial. You have to request, and this is what I do, is I'll request in writing, I said, here, I would like an installment agreement of X dollars per month. And I'll call the 800 number, and I said, listen, I've just put in my request for this. You guys denied it to me over the phone. I'm now going to put in a request for an appeal, and you make sure you make those words very clear. The other time is many people during the collection process will get something, a letter 1058, which basically says, notice of intent to levy and your right to a hearing. Really clear, it's certified mail, and it comes right at you. At that point, you have 30 days to file a Form 12-153. If you file it after 30 days, you can still do it for up to a year, but after 30 days, the IRS will then say they may hit you with a garnishment, they may hit you with a levy. So either do it within 30 days or call them within 30 days, try to work it out, but if you can't work it out at 60-day point or 90-day point, send in that Form 12-153, call them up, tell them you're going to do that. That's the appeal that you can do at that time with respect to the formal appeal to a notice of intent to levy and your right to a hearing.
You know, the thing that's interesting to me, Marty, is everything we've talked about on this program and in the last one we did, you know, we're not talking about hiring an attorney to fight the IRS here. We're talking about working with the rules that the IRS has because, you know, the reality is they hold most, if not all, the cards.
They hold fewer cards than you might think because if you know the rules, you can then battle them on equal fronting. The
okay.
Office of Appeals is centralized. And the thing is, the one thing I would recommend going to a CPA or an attorney, if you're really befuddled by this, although these shows will give you some of that, spend 45 minutes to an hour, buy some time from somebody, and just totally make sure that you're understanding all of your options. As you and I know from some of the notes that we made, there are like, you know, 10 or 12 options. Some people don't know you can go bankrupt. Some people don't know that the IRS only has 10 years to collect, so that there are statutes and limitations on collections that expire. Sometimes you may be an innocent spouse. Sometimes it may be they're missing a payment and you really don't owe the money. So there are lots of scenarios that you may have that may be a little bit more intricate, but the basic rules are you have appeal rights, you have the Office of Appeals, and what we didn't really discuss yet is you do have to make financial disclosure if you're not going to do any of these streamline agreements. So if you owe over $50,000 or you're thinking, hey, I can't pay, you need to fill out a Form 433F or Form 433A and make your financial disclosures to the IRS so they can make an informed decision about your ability to pay and go through the budgeting process.
Now, with that form, lying on the form, and this stuff is serious. You know, you got to, if you fill out that form and say, here are my assets, that better be it.
That better be it. Absolutely. And I can't tell you how many times I'll ask somebody, so do you have any real estate? And they say, not in my name. Well,
nice.
If they have a deal with a family member, it's in their name. We have to disclose it or you have potential tax fraud penalties.
Yeah. Now that brings in, that is when you definitely need to have the attorney.
For sure.
And that's what I was really trying to get to, Marty, is you don't have to hire an attorney to go fight the IRS, you know, unless it's a tax fraud situation or something like that. What you're using, as you described, you know, the knowledge of how to navigate the system so that you are on an equal footing of saying, look, I'm going to argue I disagree here, or I'm going to appeal this. And there are mechanisms in place so that you don't necessarily have to, you know, go out and have a big legal battle, so to speak, unless you really have done some things that are a no-no.
Absolutely. And they have publications. They have their famous Publication 1 and other publications that talk about the collection process that you can read and that will familiarize yourself with the process.
Well, I think one of the other things, Marty, that a lot of people don't know about, and we've got just a little over a minute left here, I wanted to have you speak to, is that is the penalty abatement. You know, you've got the tax you owe, you've got the interest, and then there are penalties that come into play. You know, when do they come into play, and how can you what are some of the ways you can get them abated?
The biggest penalties are late filing of your return and late payment of the tax. for late filing of the return, and both of these penalties, if it's the first time in the last 4 years that you have 3 years clean and then you, in the fourth year you're late, you can just tell the IRS, hey, listen, give me the first-timer's abatement, and they have that, and it's gone. The other is for reasonable cause. If there are serious health issues, family issues that caused you to be late, or your accountant died, you know, you gave it to him on March 15th and he passed away April 1st, or something like that, something serious like that.
A good explanation, not my dog ate my homework.
Not my dog ate my homework, although I've gotten penalties abated on some things that are not much better than that.
Well, I think, again, this is following the rules, and it's knowing the rules, and you know, knowing how to work within a system, that goes a long way, because you don't want to get on the wrong side of this and end up having the garnishment and all the other liens and all the other nasty stuff that can happen.
No, and remember, even the penalty abatements, you can appeal those when if they're denied. So you have a second shot at that also.
Marty, the time always goes quick with you. You're just a reservoir of information, and that's probably why you are ranked in the top 100 most influential people in accounting by Accounting Today every year since 2004.
Well, thank you very much. Great
to
be here.
You're a great guest. The website, ladies and gentlemen, taxattorneycpa.com. Marty Davidoff has been our guest, CPA and attorney, and I would recommend definitely hitting that website and learning more about what he does if you need help such as his. Marty, thanks for being on the program.
Great to be here.
All right.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.